thatgreatbusinessshow.com is brought to you by DeFacto Shaving Oil, the best anyone can get. Made in Ireland, sold worldwide.
Welcome to episode 64 of That Great Business Show, posting on the 3rd of December 2021. I'm Conal O'Moran, here today to bring you another hour of positivity. You're busy minding the shop, so we've been busy on your behalf because today we are bringing you a bookie. Not the betting kind, but Ireland's queen of books with her winning list of the best business books, the ideal business gift. And many of you are contemplating purchasing electric vehicles, but are put off by the hassle of recharging. Irish company GoEve is about to sort all of that out. And we have a big idea, which is the name of a program for transition year school pupils, and they're looking for mentors just like you. Stay tuned to find out more. And if you're a female entrepreneur who would love to get onto the hugely recommended Going for Growth program, make sure to listen back to Paula Fitzsimons on episode 63, because entries are closing very, very soon. And whether you're getting away for a couple of days or spending quality time with the Rellies, you'll be carrying your wash bag with you. Make sure to dump the old shaving foam and replace it with a nail-varnished-sized bottle of DeFacto shaving oil. It's all natural, totally recyclable, and small enough to get you through airport security, no bother at all. It's also an ideal and inexpensive gift from a child to an adult. Get it now online, DeFactoShave.com.
That Great Business Show.
Now, it is that time of year again when you need to write out lists about who's been naughty or nice in or around your business. And what better gift to give someone who has been nice to you or your business, but books about business? We have the Team GBS Top 5 Picks coming up. It's been a long, long time since I've had my first guest in studio, and a lot has happened to her business, Dewbrey Books, in that time. Maria Dickinson, Managing Director of Dewbrey Books, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Hi, Conal, thanks for having me back.
When you say back, we're just trying to work out, it must be 3-4 years ago since you and I last chatted.
It has. It's been a little while. And as you say, a lot has happened both globally and in Dewbrey during that period.
Dewbrey, you have been acquired, I think is a nice word.
That's correct. Yes.
By Eason's.
Yes. Yeah. It was a family business, as you know. The Barry family had owned it from its beginnings in Bray in 1973. But the time came for them. They felt it was the right time to sell. So Dewbrey was acquired by Eason just before the first COVID case hit, actually, back in 2020. But fantastic to be owned by an Irish business. And as far as Dewbrey is concerned, it's the same team, it's the same people.
But it's
very
even better than that, because
yes,
you were telling me, and I didn't know this until about 5 minutes ago, you have expanded very recently.
We have indeed. You might think it's a little eccentric to be opening new shops straight in the end of a pandemic, but not content with one, we decided to open two in a week. So we have opened Dewbrey Dundrum Town Centre, so just downstairs. Lovely, lovely new shop with a fantastic, very experienced, very keen team, just dying to make lots of recommendations. And we've also opened in Cork's Patrick Street, where we have received such a lovely welcome from the people of Cork. It really has been fantastic.
But you can't be Dewbrey anymore. It has to be Cur Dewbrey or something.
We did wonder about that. Yes, could we get Cork into the name somewhere?
Because for those who do not know what Dewbrey stands for, it means Dublin and Bray, correct?
That's right, yeah. It started in Bray, in the Queensborough Road a good while ago now, in 1973. And then the second store was in Grafton Street. So it expanded.
And I am, and I'm unashamedly so, a huge fan of Dewbrey. And I'm just asking any podcast listener to please, if you are going to, and you will, I hope, buy books for Christmas and for any other time, do shop local. That's number one. Keep it away from Amazon. They're very convenient, but they're not supporting local jobs. And secondly, I really love the quality of the staff in Dewbrey. I'm a big, 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 big fan of Dewbrey in Stillorgan. And I don't know if there's anything more they could ever do for me, possibly marry me or something, because it's about as close a relationship as that. Never a problem. Never too much trouble. Never this anything. Then they always find whatever book I'm looking for.
Oh, that's great to hear. I will pass on your proposal to Bobby and her team.
My proposal? Are you thinking my marriage proposal?
Yeah. Yeah, we try very, very hard to hire for people who are passionate about books and knowledgeable about books and great with people.
They're all sad when they can't find something. There was one recently that they couldn't find and they almost said, oh my God, what'll I do? Fantastic. We're not here to talk about that though. We are here to talk about your top five, Maria Dickinson's top five business choice books. And you also should remember from back in those days, I admit it, I'm not a big reader of business books. I will read any article, any newspaper clipping about business. But if it gets to books, I don't really read them. So I'm not going to be challenging you very much about this, because the first one you want to talk about is Start With Why by Simon Sinek.
Well, I'm, interestingly, with business books, I have a few favourites that I go back to again and again and again.
Would you really?
And Start With Why would be one of them. It's a book that I picked up when I joined Dubray, and that for me was a big step up in terms of a role. And, you know, as you know yourself, it's a fantastic business. And I kind of came in thinking, oh, you know, what can I add to this? So I needed to understand the business and, you know, try to see what we could do to help support and develop it. Simon Sinek, I'm sure a lot of your listeners will know him from his TED Talks and his publications. And he's very active on LinkedIn and so on.
And he's very popular with our little Hire in a Heartbeat, because that is where I actually came across the name, first of all.
Yes, yes. I mean, he's very, very well known, very charismatic, very, very interesting man. So this is a Start With Why, How Great Leaders Inspire Everyone to Take Action. And to be honest with you, if there were five Simon Sinek books, I would probably be recommending five Simon Sinek books, because he really does sort of get to the heart of business in a very accessible, very motivational manner. His point in this book is that the businesses that really succeed are the businesses that everybody understands why they're there. And customers understand why they're there. From a Dubray perspective, it's very, very simple. We all love books. We all love talking about books. That's what gets all of our staff up in the morning. It gets all of the management team up in the morning. It's what has you coming in to shop. It's what all our customers enjoy about it. So it's a very simple, very clear core proposition, and everything flows out of that. And this is the point that he's making, that you really need to understand why you do what you do. Not just what you do, but why you do it, what motivates you all. And it's a fascinating book from that perspective. And every time I go back to it, I see a different angle.
I'm just about to ask you, you actually said just now that you go back to read it, but is it that kind of a book that you need to read twice, or dare I say four times?
I think so. I mean, as I said, it is simple, but I think all of us in management, and particularly in the last few years, you know, you need a refresher every few months, you know, particularly when things have been
difficult.
Need a
holiday, difficult. I think.
Well, yeah, a holiday. You know, you need to get back to the essence of what you do. It's very easy to get bogged down in the practicalities of the day-to-day and to lose your rudder, if you like. So when I'm, you know, when I'm feeling a little bit out of sorts, or that we've lost a little bit of direction, this is the book that I always go back to.
Okay, Start With Why by Simon Sinek. Do you happen to have a price, or even a round number of a price?
I do. It'll cost you about €14.
So everything is small ticket anyway.
Yeah,
the next one is really interesting for a different reason. Smart Tips for SMEs, Understanding the SME Environment in an Irish Context by Jim Power and Cormac Fitzgerald. I don't think I know Cormac, but I know Jim Power exceedingly well.
Jim is wonderful and actually a great supporter of the book trade. He's done a lot of work for the Booksellers Association, analysing the book trade's contribution to the economy. And interestingly, a lot of the analysis he's done is around the comparison between what Amazon do, or more to the point, don't contribute to Irish culture and society, and more importantly to revenue, and what the book trade contributes in terms of jobs and so on. So he's a great and very insightful supporter of the book business, and we're very grateful to him for that.
And just while we're on the subject of Amazon, when somebody at a dinner party or over a drink or whatever says to you that they bought something on Amazon, does that actually make your blood
boil? Wounds me to the core. Yeah, I mean, it's what has actually been wonderful over the last 2 years is seeing the degree of support that Irish people have given to Irish businesses. I mean, we had to pivot to online. Luckily, we had a robust website and we could do that fairly easily. But, you know, the support that we have received from local customers has been essential to our survival. And I think particularly for this Christmas, a lot of retailers are struggling to find their feet after the pandemic for any number of reasons. So that support is absolutely critical. And one thing I will say is, you know, people, oh, Amazon's cheaper. It's really not that much cheaper, particularly not for Irish-related books. Amazon deep discount the UK bestsellers. Now, the Irish bestsellers are very different, and you know as well as I do, Conal, that the books that people are buying in Irish bookshops are not the, you know, the big celebrity UK-driven ones. So while the optics of it are a lot cheaper, once you get down the list, get to the more interesting, quirky books that the Irish market wants, once you layer in your postage, be that your Prime membership or the postage that you pay on a one-by-one, you're really not saving a radical amount of money.
I once upon a time had a Prime membership, and I didn't know it. A sneaky little thing. Now, to be fair to Amazon, when I queried it, they gave me back some hundreds of dollars, I think. I think I had it for years and years, and they don't make it very obvious.
It's very easy to slide into that. They don't. No.
Exactly. No. You mentioned there that you had gone online. How much of the business, of your business now, would be done online, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, before the pandemic, it was less than 1%. Obviously, during the period that we were closed, it was 100%, and it's settled down now at a little over 10%. So it's, you know, it's as big as one of our average stores.
And it's as good as, because, I mean, obviously the convenience. Nobody can say it's not convenient.
Because
that would have been my argument about Amazon. Just bloody convenient. Just click and say, oh yeah, that's it, that's done, and it'll appear. But you do that exactly.
Yes, exactly. And we do it very quickly. You know, at the moment, we're operating a same-day dispatch in the run-up to Christmas. And, you know, we've got Irish couriers who are delivering very quickly. And again, we, you know, we can offer much more of what you want. You know, we've worked quite hard, and we've a lot more to do now to make our website representative of the kind of recommendation experience that you'll get. And that's what our customers really missed, was coming in and having chats and discovering new things.
And you go in for one book and you leave with four.
Exactly. Drug dealers,
that's what you guys are. Tell me why Mr. Power and Mr. Fitzgerald's book is so good in your eyes.
Well, this is a really interesting one. And as you know, we love to support Irish authors and Irish publishers. This book is called Smart Tips for SMEs. And as you know, better than anyone, huge percentage of businesses in Ireland are SMEs. It's actually 99.73% of businesses.
250,000 of them, I think.
Huge
the
numbers.
People I love.
Absolutely. And there's so much hard work and dedication and creativity and spark in that sector. And this book is, it's kind of got a sort of twofold approach. It's arguing for greater supports for SMEs, for more policy making centered on SMEs. So there's that area of it. And also, as it says in the title, Smart Tips for SMEs, ways that you can, you know, grow and support your business, be it from, you know, leadership, accounting, marketing, you know, coming out of COVID, all sorts of very useful, very practical tips. They talk about, you know, the importance of female entrepreneurship, the importance of getting...
Another big thing we're big on.
Yes, exactly. The importance of getting young people engaged in SMEs. So a really, really exciting book. It's just out. So just out that I don't even have a copy with me.
But do you have an idea roughly of the price again? We're all just small ticket. We'll go for 10, 15, 20.
I'd say it's in around 15. It's paperback format. So
and if you just tell Jim, say Jim Paris sent you, and you might get a discount.
That's it. And you can get that on dugraybooks.ie and be in the stores soon.
Excellent. Okay. And the third one you have, Leading Change by John Cotter.
Now, I'm going to get in trouble with my stock manager for this one, because this book is very hard to get. It's quite old. But I wanted to talk about it because it's been really important to me in the last 6 months, a year. I mean, our journey with Dubray, when it says leading change, the business isn't changing. We've got a wonderful business and people love it, but we're blessed in the environment to be in a growth phase. And what I'm really keen to make sure is that we keep that family business ethos. We keep the staff engagement and all of that as we get bigger. So that's, you know, it's changed, but it's not changed. But this book is fascinating in terms of giving you guidance to the potential pitfalls and also the things that really help to drive change. So the first key point is create a sense of urgency, which I'm very proud having opened two shops in a week that we have that. But then talking about the importance of, you know, communication, getting everybody on board, the importance of celebrating.
How does Dubray do that?
Well, and how do you do that in a pandemic? You know, it's particularly hard.
But you're also dispersed.
Yes, exactly. So we've tried very hard. You know, we've had workshops and a lot of Zoom activity. In some ways, it's given us greater opportunity. You know, we had, you know, presentations and discussions with different staff members from different stores at the same time. Whereas prior to the pandemic, I would have gone out and had conversations with each store. Whereas as it is, you've got someone from Grafton Street, someone from Stillorgan, someone from Galway, all in together on the call. So making sure that everybody is informed, everybody understands what the vision is, what the strategy is, what we're trying to do. So that's, yeah, it's, I, you know, I think.
And how often would you do that?
I mean, we had this whole procedure has been very quick, really. I mean, we settled on the growth strategy back in June, July. So we had some kickoff discussion sessions there and rolled that out. So probably now we've got them open, we have to visit back. One of the other points in the book is the importance of celebrating your wins, but not declaring victory too soon. Two separate points there. So we will be celebrating our wins, and we will also be mindful that there's more to do and that we're looking forward to more.
That's
growth
the
in
problem
the future.
About being an SME, as you are, is there's always more to do.
There is always more to do, but isn't that great?
It is,
you
actually,
know?
Yeah.
That's what you want.
I'm looking at
board.
The cover of that book. It looks, as you said, it's a little bit old, is it? And secondly, I don't mean your copy, but is it American?
This particular one is it?
He looks very JFK-ish,
yes,
the author.
Yes, absolutely.
If that is the author,
there's a touch of the 70s about it, all right.
But it works.
Yes, yeah.
Tried and tested. What more do we need? The next one, I could say that it's a radioactive book. Atomic Habits by James Clear.
Yes. Now, this was a huge seller during lockdown. And I have to say, kudos to anyone who bought it in the thick of lockdown, because it's a self-improvement book. And I don't know about you, but I didn't have much energy for self-improvement at that stage. But it has continued since then.
And I've just picked it up because I want to see how it's a bigger book than the rest of them. It's about 300 pages.
Yes.
Of small type.
Yes, it's dense enough, to be honest with you. But this is, Atomic Habits. This is about creating habits through small changes. So in some ways it is bite-sized, it's easy. And I think a lot of us have had time to reflect on our circumstances, personal or professional, and sort of identified things that we want to change. And what's nice about it builds from very, very small amounts. And I think, you know, particularly, it's not strictly a business book. It's more of a mind, body, spirit book, if you like. But I've certainly found, you know, at my stage in the career, you know, you get into some habits, you know, and you overuse certain skills, you underuse skills that you maybe find a little bit difficult. So I found it very useful in...
We normally choose the ones we like.
Exactly, yes.
And that is one of those key ones. Do the stuff you don't like first. Isn't that what they always tell you?
Yeah. So just in terms of recalibrating your business practice or your personal habits or anything that you want to change, it's a really interesting and very, very palatable book. You know, it's very...
And that is Atomic Habits by James Clear. And again, I'm going to guess, looks more like a 20 euro type.
You know,
it's a little bit more substantial. Yeah. The fifth of your five, we've gone to a woman author.
Indeed.
Thrive.
This one, I sort of referenced the toll of the pandemic. I put this one in deliberately. This is more a book about work-life balance than anything else. And we all have been through a huge amount. And I think an awful lot of SME owners and workers have worked so hard and potentially fairly burnt out at this stage. Because, you know, you forget, you know, there was the stress of being closed. And then as stores opened, you're out there putting all single dancing, no time for recovery. It's very, very full on.
And then shut down again, maybe.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So I included this book, Arianna Huffington of the Huffington Post, very, very successful businesswoman, but literally drove herself into the ground. I mean, she recounts in the book, you know, collapsing from exhaustion and doing herself some physical damage in the process. And it really is about balancing, you know, business and mental health and family and all of these things, which are terribly, terribly important, both to our own survival and happiness and also ultimately to the success of our businesses. You know, if you're in good shape yourself, your business is much more likely to be in good shape. So it's you know, for anybody who needs a little bit of TLC or motivation, it's again, I mean, this book is a few years old, but again, I've returned to it in times of incipient burnout, shall
How
we say.
How much time do you spend reading? I mean, I presume you also read non-busy books.
I mostly read fiction. To be honest, it's difficult. I have two small children and, elderly parents and a full-time job. So, reading tends to eat into my sleep time, I'll be honest with you. I do burn the midnight oil a little bit when I get into a good book. But
favourite fiction book?
Favourite fiction book of the year...
I haven't prepped you for this, just in case anybody's listening.
...is Claire Keegan's Small Things Like These, which is absolutely exceptional. It's quite a short book, if anybody's looking to, you know, because I think, again, a lot of people had problems reading, concentrating, focusing of late, but it is an absolute gem of a book. It really is fantastic Irish fiction I won't give too much away, but it's a man who sort of comes up against the nuns.
And it is called?
Small Things Like These, Claire Keegan.
Okay. Now, you know what the last question I'm going to ask you is? Who would Maria Dickinson hire in a heartbeat?
You're going to laugh at this. We were talking about this in the office before I came in, and various ideas bounced around. We hire in Dubray for passion and knowledge, first and foremost, and also people who can talk and engage and convey that passion. So if Ryan Torbody is ever looking for a job, we love to have him.
And a massive reader.
He is a massive reader and has done wonders for the book trade. Now, I have to say, because his recommendations, we literally, and it was actually Stillorgan one time, he recommended a book and said, so run to your local bookshop. And a woman ran into Stillorgan and said, Ryan said I had to run and get this before I went out of stock. You know, his passion for books and his knowledge of books is second to none. And that is what we hire for. Now, I know he's kind of in demand, but, you know, if he ever fancies a little book trade... I'll be at the end of his career.
At some stage, you'd be hanging up the headphones, and why not? You get all the books free, I presume. You can read them while you're...
We get an awful lot of advanced copies, which is wonderful from publishers, and we have a lovely staff discount.
Now, you have been so kind to come in to join us on That Great Business Show. You have an open mic for the next 2 minutes to sell Dubray books to the world and tell people why this Christmas, in particular, they've got to go down and support one local to Dubray.
Well, that is lovely. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I think first and foremost, and I have to hand it to my staff, first and foremost in this, they're a wonderful, wonderful team. As I said, very passionate, very committed. They have been through the mill over the last 2 years. They've had to, you know, go from people who are front of house book experts to fulfilling stuffing envelopes and dealing with couriers and all sorts of very unglamorous things. But their commitment and their energy is phenomenal for what they do. And as well, you know, opening, we're a very small team. We haven't expanded significantly to support these two new shops. So the management team, the two new stores teams, both the new staff and the existing staff who've helped them have been brilliant. So that alone, you know, support these lovely, kind, thoughtful, energetic, book-loving people.
When you are hiring them, just as a matter of interest, how does somebody demonstrate that, that zest that you're looking for?
I think there are two things that we look for. First of all, just in a conversation, you can tell very quickly someone who is passionate and enthusiastic about their subject. I mean, we always ask about, you know, what do you read, what do you like, what's your experience. We look for people who have experience in hospitality.
So I failed already because since I don't read your business books, I'm not going to get it.
You don't read my business books, but you are enthusiastic about bookshops. So that would
I suppose, that would
get you to a serious conversation at the end of the end of an interview. And the second thing, you know, as I said, recommendation is not our USP, because there are many booksellers around Ireland who will happily recommend you books, but books as gifts are such a personal thing. And if you find the right book for the right person, there's nothing like it as a gift. And our booksellers, as you said, will turn over every stone to find that perfect book that will suit you. So
one other book that should be mentioned, because I've just remembered it, it's possibly the heaviest book I've ever picked up. Have you seen, I think, is it a Guide to the Coast of Ireland?
Say, it's got to be the Coastal Atlas of Ireland. 4 kilograms that book weighs.
It is beautiful.
It's stunning, isn't it?
It's expensive. I think it's 60 quid.
It is,
I would say per square. What did you say? Per kilogram must be the cheapest book in the world.
And the knowledge that has gone into writing that book and the production values,
gorgeous.
The photography. It's absolutely stunning. Yeah, that's Cork University Press. They did the Atlas of the Irish Famine a few years ago. They really do beautiful, incredibly detailed, very, very well produced books.
Well, listen, we are a business program. We better get back to business. And I better say to you, thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show. That is Marie Dickinson. One final question. I was thinking the next final question is, are you going to open any more bookshops?
We would love to.
What are you looking for?
It's finding the right location.
Yeah.
That's the key thing. And there are lots of very good bookshops in Ireland, and we've no intention of hosting any of the good ones that are there. So we're looking at various locations.
So you are?
Yeah.
You're in expansion mode.
Yes,
good.
Exactly.
Yeah. Lovely to hear. Maria Dickinson, Managing Director of Dubray Books, thank you so much for joining us That Great Business Show. And we love hearing from Team GBS, and we have very regular chats with team members on our LinkedIn page, where anyone at all can read about what's going on and what's coming up on the podcast. And if you are a business that you want to be featured on what you say is Ireland's best business podcast, use our LinkedIn page to get in touch with us. And we'll have the chat there and we'll see what we can do for you.
Thinking of travel? If so, make sure to make DeFacto, the world's best shaving oil, your choice of travel companion. A 25-milliliter bottle of DeFacto means no hassle at airports, no bulky cans to carry, and the guarantee of the world's best shave. DeFactoShave.com.
Everyday accounting can be a bit of a drama for SMEs. However, BigRedCloud.com takes the drama away with its simple and easy-to-use cloud-based accounting and payroll software designed for SME owners. Rate and send invoices, manage VAT reports and obligations, run management reports, link directly to Irish banks, automatically import purchase invoices, and so much more. All with five-star customer support. BigRedCloud.com, 100% Irish-owned and a proud member of Team GBS.
A Nova UCD-based company, GoEve, has won this year's UCD Startup of the Year Award for their patent-pending technology that could be a worldwide game-changer when it comes to charging electric vehicles. AC charging is slow but inexpensive. DC charging is fast but, you guessed it, expensive. GoEve's DuckChain innovation allows multiple parking spaces to be rapidly electrified from just one base power source with a daisy chain of inexpensive and simple charging points. This technology can significantly reduce the cost involved with charging a large number of EVs or where rapid vehicle turnaround is required. And that can remove the operational inconvenience of moving vehicles around chargers. And to test their concept, they're going to run three pilots next year, and to do that, they're raising €3 million. And the man tasked with passing around that hat is Hugh Sheehy, co-founder of GoEve. Hugh Sheehy, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thank you very much, and I'm delighted to be here.
You have possibly a world-winning business.
I believe we have, and it's been an interesting journey getting to that point. We were talking about it earlier on, but before we started, was UCD and Nova UCD have been hugely helpful to us in all of this journey. The technology was originally invented by a UCD academic several years ago, who's now moved on to Imperial College in London. And that's given us the great privilege of being associated with Imperial as well. The original idea came from the inconvenience of having an electric car in the wild. And Bob Shorten, who's the professor, realized that the main thing you wanted to be able to do was park a car and charge it. It didn't matter whether it was directly connected to the charger or not, as long as you could plug it in and walk away. And the DuckChain idea came from that inconvenience. And we're looking at it now in the transition to electric vehicles, and as the world needs to move to electric vehicles, as being a major facilitator for fleets and destinations, hotels, for them to electrify their car parks without spending unnecessary money, and being able to give their guests a good customer experience or to have their vehicles turn around quickly.
I was looking at one of the videos which you have posted, and it shows what is, I think, a normal car park, isn't it? Yeah. And just, as you call it, a daisy chain of power points. Is it that simple? And if it is that simple, which you're probably going to say, no, it's not, is why hasn't anybody else done this?
It almost is that simple, is the first thing. And we've made the comparison to a normal electric extension bar, a power bar that you would plug multiple things into. Now, charging electric vehicles isn't quite that straightforward. You can't keep plugging them in until the fuses pop, because that would be a bad plan. And we can't defeat physics. We can't have more electrons and more power than is available. But the genius of the invention is in its stunning simplicity. And I compliment the guys who invented it all the time by saying it allows us to make a charging unit almost as dumb as a brick. It's wonderful. These things can be tough and cheap, and you could not quite back a truck over them, but they would survive. And the idea is really, we joke about it a little bit, is the DuckChain system tells the car that it's the charger unit, and it tells the charger unit it's the car. And that way it can coordinate all of the signaling and the crucial signaling that happens between a car and a charger to let that very simple solution become real of one charge unit, lots of cars plugged in. And the idea again is you drive up, plug your car in, and then the system knows you plugged in at that time, somebody else plugged in at a different time, and it can decide to charge the cars in parallel. It can decide to give you came first, first in, first served, or if there's a booking, if you're a rental station and there's a booking on your car, to charge that one so that it's ready quickly and can go again. And there's ultimate flexibility about doing that. And again, it's interesting because when you read the patents, you can sometimes come out the far side going, I have no idea what any of that meant. But it basically becomes as simple as it's one connection, daisy chained onto the next connection, daisy chained onto the next connection, and you can plug a car into it, get full power, high speed charging, and then plug it in and walk away, and it'll be charged when you get back.
But one of the reasons that the take-up of electric vehicles has been a little bit slower has been this problem about charging. I would have thought that Elon Musk of Tesla and others would have been like on top of this so much to make sure that it becomes utterly simple to charge my EV.
I think there's a lot of inventions in the world. When you see them, you kind of go, oh God, why didn't I think of that?
Oh yeah, the and wheel. We'll start with the wheel.
Many, many things. And we've all had that experience of looking at something and thinking, oh my God, that's too straightforward. I think there's a number of things that came up in this. One was Bob and the guys were looking at EVs well before it became a mass market thing and well before the problem started to be experienced on a wide scale. And the second thing was they were looking at it from a different perspective. And that perspective let them come up with something that seems obvious in retrospect. But we've talked, John Goodbody and myself, who's the other founder, he lives in London. When we first saw it, we did have that thought is, oh, for heaven's sake, somebody must have thought of this. And we went around talking to people and showing them and saying, well, you know, have you ever seen anything like this? And the general reaction was, oh my God, that's brilliant. And no, I've never seen this before. And oh my God, that's brilliant. And so over time, we've become more and more confident that no, nobody else has this. And we've had people occasionally say, have you seen what company XYZ is doing? And we look and it's not the same. And it's going to cost you multiples of what a dock chain system would cost. And we come back then to the idea that, you know, it's brilliantly simple. It lets us do something nobody else can do. This is a problem that's facing the whole world. With the experience that John and myself and some of the other people associated with the company have, technically we can make a great solution. There's partners out there that, again, Nova UCD have introduced us to and that Imperial are helping us to get in contact with who can build these things at massive scale. And then it almost becomes a duty to go, well, we need the world to get to electric cars as quickly as possible. And that's what we're bloody going to do, is get the world to electric cars as quickly as possible. And at least nobody will have the excuse that they can't find a charging point that works.
Now, you won your award. You collected 32,000 in value of various prizes, all very nice. That'll pay for Christmas. But you are looking for 3 million. I would have thought, again, in my naivety, that somebody just comes over and says, we don't need any shares. Just get this bloody thing up and running because we want to make electric cars. And as soon as we have your solution, it'll happen.
I often make the joke that's a little bit of the Little Britain answer. Yeah, but no, but yeah, but no. We're at the stage now where this concept has been tested and proven in AC at moderately low power. And we're building it right now at DC to show that it works at DC. I mean, it will work in DC and at high power. There's absolutely no reason it won't. But just to be able to prove it to people. And again, I think you have to remember on the timelines, we've turned this around. Nova UCD came to me with this in early summer.
Of this summer. Oh, wow.
And their comment...
I don't know why, but I thought you've been sitting on this for a couple of years.
We've had this, they said, sitting on the shelf for a couple of years. Can you please take a look at this? So I've been working with John Goodbody in London, and he had experience in the rental car industry for decades, and a number of other people who had lots of contacts in the electrical space, because I'd previously worked with the ESB, and I have a long background in the energy industry. And so we looked at this and kind of indeed did this is too good to be true. Don't be silly. Like, this can't be unique. And then John particularly understood straight away the potential impact for this to industries like the car rental industry, who for cities like London and Amsterdam and multiple cities around Europe are not going to be able to put, you know, diesel or petrol cars into the cities. And they're facing a situation where waiting for an AC charger takes too long and DC is very expensive and dockchain fills a gap in the middle. So we've gone from this. We first started talking to customers in July. And a lot of the early conversation was trying to check that nobody else had this. And as far as we can find out, nobody else has this. And customers have tried to buy this off us on the first phone call. So yes, we need to raise the money.
But hang on a second, if you've got paying customers, you don't need to raise cash.
Well, we don't need, in the context of what I think we're trying to achieve, 3 million is not a lot of money. We can take 3 million and we can build good, solid back-end systems for this on Google Cloud or probably Google Cloud or AWS. We can build the boxes working with partnerships so that as we get an order, we build the boxes. But we do need to have a modicum of infrastructure and a modicum of capability ourselves and a mid-sized organization to actually be able to enable all of this. But in our minds, and I think based on the feedback we're getting from the market, in a few years' time, we will be installing, I almost hesitate to give numbers of the potential, but these will be in Sydney.
Be everywhere, basically.
Sydney and Wyoming and...
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
These things will be going in everywhere.
And I mentioned at the very beginning that your patent pending. You haven't secured that patent yet. Somebody's going to listen to this. And they're going to go down to UCD and in the back window and steal your idea.
Good luck to them. I think it's fair to say that between, you know, this isn't UCD's first rodeo in terms of protecting intellectual property. And this idea was thought about in UCD and, you know, with, again, we're all jealous of Bob's job title. He's the Professor of Cyber Physical Systems in Imperial College London. You know, he's no dope, to put it mildly. And so good luck to them. The patent, as far as we can read, is good. It's been through a number of the steps of assessment already. Nobody has challenged any of the claims. Nobody can show that anybody's ever done this before. We've spoken to people who write the standards for electric vehicle charging, and they're going, nope, never saw anything like this before. So, and GoEve as a company is a joint venture of Imperial and UCD, and we have a global exclusive license. So, yeah, good luck to them. We want to get this thing out there fast. We believe it can make a big difference. My environmentally friendly children approve of this as a goal in life, and I'll take my cue from them. And we want to get it out there and get it into, as I said, Wyoming and Sydney and, you know, Sao Paulo and Seville as quickly as we can.
And you're raising 3 million.
We're raising 3 million.
And who do you want to give you, who do you want that money from? People like what they call clever money or wise money or intelligent money. People who know what they're talking about.
I think we primarily want people who, well, A, have the money, because without that, why are we even having the conversation? And the other important part is, I think, is that they see the scale of the opportunity.
And but anyway, I mean, anybody surely can see. We are going electric. There's no...
We're going electric.
And I don't know how many hundreds, if not billions of cars there are in the world. Do you know what that number is?
I know country by country. There's more than a billion cars worldwide. But country by country, they say 38 or 39 million in the UK. There's 290 something million in
the
US.
Well, we take billion. A billion is a number.
Yeah.
So in theory, we will one day have a billion of your little boxes somewhere.
Quite possibly.
Yeah. What do they retail at?
Well, again, and it's a funny one, this, that for the kind of business customers that we're talking to, their focus is on DC because they want high-speed charging. And they're also telling us we want to get power as a service. Everybody's into software as a service and platform as a service. They want these things installed outside and that they pay per space per month for these. So as a subscription service. So our view is that in years to come, there'll be these things lined up and that's how they work is dollars, you know, dollars or euros per space per day. In terms of building them, we're kind of talking, there's a motel size we talk about it, one power unit and then 10 docks, which is 20 parking spaces. And we can do that for a price that's quite similar to what would cost you to put one high-speed DC unit in that would energize two spaces. And so for us, for customers, it's almost a no-brainer. And that's the DC model. For AC, the original idea for this was AC for households. If you have a household with an AC charger outside the front door, it's not going to charge your cars very fast, but it will work perfectly well overnight. But what happens when you and your partner and somebody else in the house all have electric cars, and now the fight at dinner becomes, well, I want the charger now, and then somebody else has to have the charger later, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, you have to go outside and take the car off the charger, and I have to go out and put mine on. That was the original idea for the dock chain, was you'd be able to put this cheap daisy chain outside on the ground and plug all the cars into it, and the system would look after all of the dinner time discussion. And so we also see the second phase of the business is in AC units, which would be sold in Halfords or Walmart or Carrefour, And so, yes, these things would be everywhere. How much do they cost to retail? We're still working that out in detail, and I hesitate to give numbers when I'm not sure of them because I'm an engineer at heart. But again, they're cheaper than anything else out there. That's the biggest message. And they do more than anything else out there for less money.
And what are you doing in here talking to me on That Great Business Show instead of being out there selling these? I'm genuinely excited about this. When I read about it, I said, ah, no. And now you've told me, I mean, I believe you. This is, as you say, a no-brainer. Just.
Well, we were on a call with hopefully a customer earlier on, essentially a customer that's expressing lots of interest in this. And so I had the unusual opportunity as somebody really trying to sell something to a customer of telling the customer, I'm sorry, I have to leave because I have to come and talk to your good self.
Ah, you're very kind.
Influencers are influencers. And I'm here because the one thing we do want to do is start getting the word out. And we've won an award, we've won a prize because I think the judges and the community recognized the value of the idea. And we're still a small organization and we don't have the ability to get, the message out without help. And this for me is an opportunity to get help.
We're happy to help. And one of the guys that I would suggest that you give a buzz to is Kevin Maughan at Urban Volt, a guy that has been on the radio show with me in previous years. And he is, his business is basically putting power onto roofs of houses and factories, and pay as you use. They fund it, and you can make many savings, etc. Very similar. So you need 3 million. When will you go live with that? And if somebody is listening to this and they say, "I'm first in the queue," here's your 3 million and a little bit more. When do you think you're going to do that?
We have. And again, answering this question, I have to recognize that the assistance that people like UCD and Imperial are giving us in finding partners who can do manufacturing at scale. And it's one of the important parts of why we only need 3 million. We're not planning to set up a manufacturing plant, certainly not yet. We have customers that are asking us, can you deliver in Q4 2022? How much can you deliver in Q4 2022? And so our push for the money is basically, I know how to build the back-end systems, but I can't do it by myself. The electrical guys we've got in the universities know how to build the electrical designs, but they can't do all of it by themselves. And there's a lot of work that needs to be done to actually get this out into a production unit and have it coming on trucks from a factory in Ireland or Britain or Germany or on ships from China or wherever. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. But we have customers out there saying they want this stuff by Q4 next year. And so if I can raise the money to get this going... I believe we can, who do I want? I want somebody who help us help the world. All this stuff sounds terribly corny, but at a certain point in life, you realize that, I'm not going to try and make money by pouring battery acid into streams. And if I can make a bit of money and help UCD make a bit of money and help Imperial make a bit of money by helping the world move off petrol and diesel engines, by God, I'm going to try and do that. And I think we've got an opportunity to do that here.
It is so exciting. Do you kind of wake up and say, pinch yourself and say, no, this is too good?
There's a number of videos of me, I think, online now talking about the business and how it works and, a voiceover to PowerPoint slides. And one of my friends here in Dublin, he said, it doesn't sound like you, Hugh. It's too calm on the voiceover. It doesn't sound like you anymore. And for me, I think that's true, is there's an opportunity here to help, to do a little bit to help a major global problem. So I get excited about that possibility. Yeah, I think it's important that we try and do this and we try and do it well.
Good. Your final question is, who would you hire in a heartbeat?
John Goodbody and I talked about this. Who would we hire in a heartbeat? And there's so many different answers to that question. I think one of the places we would really look for hiring or help in a heartbeat is somebody who understands the energy world, who understands the changes we need to make and the scale of what's going on. Somebody who's got the experience and the financial experience, because I have a bit, but it's not my main core. And John is an expert marketeer, which means he's not financial. And I look around, a country like Ireland, and I see what people have done, like Eddie O'Connor did with his businesses. And now he's, started in Ireland and globalized and made a great success. I don't think I get to hire him, but I'd certainly love the chance to talk to him and get him to give me some pointers and advice on what we should do and how we should do it.
He certainly is somebody who has been fantastically successful. So we will give Eddie a buzz for you and say, great. Hugh would like a word. And I'm just so excited for you. This is the second company that's come out of Nova UCD to us where I just went, ah, this is going to change the world. It is so exciting.
And, you know, I believe that, again, it's a good opportunity. And John and myself laugh about it. He's as English as English can be. And we laugh and say, we're actually genuinely from the get-go, a Anglo-Irish, Hiberno-British, whatever organization. And so we already have a head start on lots of other people in terms of internationalizing and globalizing. And then, you know, that's how we really see it, is we need to make this a global business and a global success and make a bit of a global impact. And once we've done that, we might have laurels to rest on. You know, winning the prize from the Venture Launch Program was great. But for us, mostly, it was a privilege to work with the rest of the teams that were there. We learned a lot from talking to them. And, you know, we don't have any laurels to rest on until we make this a global success. And that's what we're trying to do.
Well, you better get out of this studio because people are waiting for you to start manufacturing. And as you said, deliver in quarter four next year.
Next year.
That gives you just a bit less than 12 months.
And we can do it. And we can do it. We just need that investor who gets it and will help us push along.
Co-founder of GoEve. Where did you come up with the name, GoEve? I presume it's a play on EVV, is it? Or?
That's a long story. But yes, ultimately, it's a play on Go Electric. And we played around with a number of different branding things and kind of corporate identities. And at a certain point, you realize it's really going to be the product and the service we provide that counts.
Absolutely.
So that's what we're going to focus on.
Well, that is Hugh, put back my teeth. Hugh Sheehy, co-founder of GoEve. Thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Viscosity. When you shave, you want the highest viscosity because it helps the blade run smoother. DeFacto, the world's best shaving oil, has incredible viscosity. That's why DeFacto leaves your face, underarms, or legs nick-free. Higher viscosity makes blades last longer. DeFacto is the best for your skin and your pocket. DeFactoShave.com.
Everyday accounting can be a bit of a drama for SMEs. However, BigRentCloud.com takes the drama away with its simple and easy-to-use cloud-based accounting and payroll software designed for SME owners. Raise and send invoices, manage VAT reports and obligations, run management reports, link directly to Irish banks, automatically import purchase invoices, and so much more. All with five-star customer support. BigRentCloud.com, 100% Irish-owned and a proud member of Team GBS.
Backing great women-led businesses on every show.
That Great Business Show.
Did you know that doing good for others can have a powerful, positive effect on the immune system? Of course you did. And that's just one of the reasons that you should give back in business. It's what the Americans call paying it forward. And here's your chance of doing a bit of good in the coming year. The Big Idea, a school transition year program, is looking for about 200 mentors to help TY students think creatively to solve industry and societal problems. And before you say, oh, you haven't got the time, it actually only takes a couple of hours and it could make a big, big difference to the participating young people. My next guest has a very fancy job title because she is Growth and Engagement Lead, no less, at the Big Idea Ireland. She is Niamh Cooney. She is laughing. Niamh Cooney, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thank you.
I deliberately didn't tell you I was going to use that.
I know. It is a fancy title. It's very, very new age, isn't it? Yeah. It's around.
So talk to me about the Big Idea.
Okay, I'll contain myself now. So I am from the Big Idea with my fancy title. And we are a social enterprise, so a creative-focused social enterprise. It was set up just before the pandemic and our...
Good timing.
Well, actually, it kind of... I'll get to it in a bit, but it kind of shaped how we're actually running the program now. But our kind of... I guess our reason for being is that, you know, we believe that creativity is the answer to pretty much every big challenge that industry and the world is facing right now. And we're on a mission to bring this kind of creative thinking, creative problem solving skills to as many students as possible, starting in Ireland. And
who is the we?
So the we is our formidable founder, Kim McKenzie Doyle. So Kim is... really, like, she's been in the design industry for donkeys. She's a very long list of credentials, amazing woman. So she set this up because she saw a gap
in the education system, you know, in terms of teaching students how to kind of, I'm not allowed to think outside the box because apparently in the design world, that's a no, but it is. It's about thinking kind of divergently and, you know, being more kind of solution focused and not just learning kind of what you need to know and then regurgitating it like I did when I grew up.
And I probably did too.
Yeah. So she set up the program and we have an incredible head of education, Fiona Byrne, who has a really great long history in various education and design roles. And then we have Patrick and Alison and a number of other people who are working on kind of marketing, social media, copywriting. So we're a small team, but we're punchy.
Perfectly formed.
Exactly. That's what we like to think. Yeah.
And transition year only, and there will be obviously many parents of transition year students who are listening to this and they're saying, oh God, I'd love my kid to get involved in that. Can anybody get involved?
Yeah. So we have, we've closed the list for this year. So we were really lucky. Last year, it was the pilot of first year. So there were 500 students across 7 schools. And by the time the program finished, there were 10,000 students on the waiting list.
So, wow.
Yeah, it's fantastic. There's obviously a real, you know, there's a need for it. So we decided that 2,000 was a good enough number for us to go with this year. So we've got 2,066 to be exact students in transition year next year on the program, and schools can apply to take part in it. So they can just email us through at hello@thebigidea.ie and Fiona will kind of add them to the waiting list. And the reason I think we have so many students on the waiting list is because we actually provide the program completely free. So it's kind of a core focus of ours is that, you know, these skills are for everyone and we don't want cost of schools or schools not having funding to be a barrier or parents not having, you know, the money for it in transition year. So we provide it completely free to all schools.
So what form does this program take?
So it's very cool. I think so. So it's a 16-week program that runs from January to May. And it's an action learning kind of hands-on immersive program like Mini Accelerator or an extended design sprint, I guess. And the students work on projects throughout the 16 weeks. So there are 5 kind of environmental or social issues that are co-created and identified as really pressing for the students. So they get into student teams and they work on these projects across the 16 weeks. And simultaneously, they have weekly kind of lessons that focus on like a different skill or a tool set that they need in that whole process to bring it from ideation through to kind of final prototyping and presentation at the end. So it's really hands-on and there's elements of kind of mindfulness and reflection and there's a huge breadth of work that they do in it. And then the other kind of unique thing about it is that it's very industry focused in terms of our mentors and our partners and people kind of in industry have helped us develop the program. It is developing again this year. And that's where the mentors come in.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect segue.
Look at that.
Talk to me about the mentors. What are you looking for?
So we are looking for another probably about 200 mentors now. We're really incredibly lucky. We've got some incredible mentors on board. So first of all, a big mentor, what is it? We are looking for anyone who has, you know, uses creative thinking, creative problem solving in their work or in their life and in the professional industry. And we have a huge range of people on board at the moment. So industry-wise, between our mentors and partners, we've got the creative industry, you know, healthcare, finance, consultancy, tech, retail, could go on. And we have everyone from kind of marketers to creatives to product managers, software engineers, educators, and that's people who are kind of fresh into the industry, just starting out their careers right up to CEO level. So the only, I guess, criteria is that you are kind of creative, innovative.
So that is what they do. And what do you want them to do for your students?
So we want them to join our membership network. And the way that it works is there's kind of a minimum commitment, which is the hours that you mentioned, which I think is pretty key and it's really unique. So halfway through the program, the students will upload their projects, where they've gotten to on their projects, and the mentors will get about 3 to 5 projects through to them. And at that point, they'll kind of look at the projects, they'll kind of advise on, you know, where they are kind of in the process. They might give them advice on kind of resources that they might want to use, things to think about, any advice they have. Did anything happen in their own careers that was kind of similar that might be helpful? So the students get that feedback then, and they kind of incorporate that into what they're doing. And the next couple of lessons are about how they can incorporate that feedback. And it's, you know, it's not criticism. It's helpful. It's constructive. It's helpful. Yeah. And then they kind of build that into their ideas. It develops them. And then they move those forward to prototyping. And at the end, they have three outputs that they need to do. And that's a process poster, which details how they got from A to B, from their idea and through. And there's a video about their project, and they have a poster about their project. So the mentors, again, will get those back through in May. And then they can see how the students have done, how they've applied their advice. And then we have a grading system that they use based on the different, I guess, the three different outputs. And then they give them their awards. They can pick a category winner. And then we have a big award ceremony at the end in our showcase event. So timing-wise, in February, it's about 2 to 3 hours. And I say 3 hours
max. You're reading my mind. I was just going to ask these questions.
I know. I'm so used to saying the spiel now. Like, it's 2 to 3 hours. No, but honestly, it really is. So in February, there's a window of about 5 to 6 days. It's fully remote. So everything is given to you on your own kind of personal mentor dashboard. You get the projects through. You can dip in and out whenever you want. So really, it will take about 2 hours to do it all. You can see who the other mentors are on your projects, and it's the same time period in May. So that's how we get in the 4 hours. And then the showcase event is in the morning. So,
and I posted on LinkedIn, I said that if you wanted to put up on your CV on LinkedIn that you are a startup mentor.
Yeah.
You can claim that.
Absolutely. And we do encourage all our mentors to do that. And we have a really cool like overlay for their pictures, and loads of our mentors are posting about it now because,
good,
you know, it's, we're building a really, really nice community kind of about it. So
did I see that your mentors may have to open up the wallet?
Oh, you did. Yeah. So
you're not a, you know, we are an investigative podcast, yeah, here. We go straight to the heart.
Absolutely.
You're going to have to open the wallet for 200 quid or something, is it?
Yeah. So we did a lot of research. So last year we had, as I said, we had 500 students and we had 100 mentors. So we've got 2,000 students, which means 400 mentors. We are a small team. So yeah, we spoke to some of our mentors from last year. We looked at other charity models and membership networks that were out there. So we put together a membership offering, and we have a pay monthly or kind of a lump sum. And that money, majority of it, 174, will go directly towards funding two teenagers on the program. And that includes the part of the teacher learning materials that they'll need to deliver the program. And each student also gets what we call a swag bag. So it's got everything they need to take part in the program. And that kind of levels the playing field, because some students wouldn't have everything they need to take part in it. So they have everything from kind of a t-shirt. They have a notebook for like brainstorming and reflection. There's a Lego pack for systems thinking, and everything from a pencil to, you know, post-it notes. So yeah, that's the way that we're doing it. And we have 220 people, I think, signed up now. And in return, we're creating a community of, you know, cross-sector professionals who want to come together. There'll be kind of networking opportunities. We'll be running events. There's different ways for them to get involved in the program in terms of, you know, you can film expert videos for the program. We'll be doing lots of press and PR and social media. So it's a really good profile raiser. And we have loads of mentor offers for people who
get involved.
Do you know
what, can I add into the swag bag? I would like the overall winners. There will be an overall winner,
yep,
isn't there?
There is an overall winner.
I'd love to have them, because it could be a team, would it be?
Yes.
I'd love to have them on the podcast.
That would be amazing.
Well, that's a done deal,
oh,
as they
fantastic.
Say.
Fantastic. That'd be amazing.
So that'll be sometime in May, is it? Or
yeah. So the showcase is May 20th, and we have an overall winner, and then we have category. So we have 5 different categories, so we'll have a winner for each of those, which kind of mixes there the issues or the environmental or social issues that they work on. They pick a project theme.
So what can Team GBS do for you otherwise?
Well, one of the big things, part of my role with my very fancy title is...
Just to remind people, she's Growth and Engagement Lead.
I mean, when you say it like that, I'm like, I must go to LinkedIn immediately and change it.
That's where I found it.
But no, the reason being is that my role is very much about, you know, finding companies that we can collaborate with, we can partner with. And it is about building out the mentor and partner communities. There you go, growing and engaging them.
I'm going to link you with a bunch of people that you'll find very interesting. There's Una and Peter McPartland of the Indie List, which is almost all of the creative industry in Ireland should be on the Indie List.
Yeah.
And they have been on That Great Business Show. And we are very collaborative and we like reconnecting. So we'll connect you with them.
Oh,
that's
brilliant.
That's a done deal as well. You're doing well.
I am. I like tick, tick. Yeah. And the other thing is, it's just a shout out from here really is that, you know, we are very much looking for, we've got a number of partners on board and we're really excited, and we've got some universities on board as
you
well.
You give some of them a shout out because you have your opportunity now.
I know.
Of your partners. Can you remember any of them?
I can, thankfully. No, so we are partnered with Creative Ireland, CEUD, and two of our category partners are Netwatch and MSD this year. And university-wise, we have UCC, Griffith, NCAD, and Carlow IT on board. And we've loads more kind of in the offering. And my big shout out to companies is that, you know, for us, well, for me personally, I think that big mentoring is absolutely perfect for employees in terms of the hybrid, I guess, corporate social responsibility and learning and development opportunity. And we, you know, diversity in terms of our mentor panel is really important for us, for the students, because we want so many industries, so many ages, backgrounds. You know, we do have gender balance as well. I heard you speaking last year.
Which we approve of, yeah.
It varies between about 45 to 60%, depending on the sign-up day. So for companies who are interested in offering it to employees, for them to be able to sign up, we would absolutely love, you know, to have a conversation with you. And for anyone who wants to get involved and, you know, in any way, just don't let anything be a barrier. Please just reach out to us. hello@thebigidea.ie or
and if you get her on the phone, she's very chatty.
Oh, yeah.
Phone calls can go on a bit. Why don't that's because she's got a big job, of course. That's come here to me. You know what else I'm going to ask you?
Go on.
Hire in a heartbeat. Who would you hire in a heartbeat?
God, you know what? This actually gave me so much, like, never mind talking about the big idea. I was like, who would I hire? So I had two, if I'm allowed.
You are, of course.
Yeah, they're two kind of different ones. So one who I've been following for a long time is Arianna Huffington. I think she is an incredible kind of woman and leader, the way that she does things, who dances to the beat of her own drum. And what she's doing with Thrive right now, you know, in terms of kind of resilience and mental health in the workplace is so
you
well aligned.
You will be very pleased to know that prior to you coming into studio, we had Maria Dickinson of Dewbrae for choosing her five best business books. And guess one of them? Arianna Huffington's Thrive.
Well, so there you go.
So
it's
she's
the theme of the day.
She's in with you. So who is your second choice?
Yeah, I was going to say Richard Branson, but I wasn't allowed. So.
You are allowed.
No,
but
I'm joking.
Everybody says bloody Richard Branson. He must be the most sought after.
I know.
I'm sure he's a lovely guy.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. No, the other one that just in terms of, I guess, thinking about the big idea and kind of ambassador-wise, might as well give a shout-out, was Mary Robinson. I mean, the work that she's doing with young people at the moment and, you know, supporting them and giving them a voice and giving them kind of a way to look at the big problems in the world a bit differently, a bit more solution-focused. Again, it's quite aligned with what we're kind of trying to do, so they are my...
Well, we will give ex-President Robinson a shout for you.
Why
and
not?
We'll I'll get on the blower to Arianna Huffington as well.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you do listen back to some of the podcasts, I do make a claim about Richard Branson. Once upon a time, I used to have his mobile phone number because once upon a time, he used to live on the Thames.
Oh.
And once upon a time, he used to take my phone calls and go onto radio on a Friday evening, yakking on about the Virgin Music business as it was back in those days. He was so open to the media. He's just that kind of a guy.
Yeah. So he's just disappeared now to...
Yeah, I saw him. He had a tennis tournament in Necker the other day,
nice.
I don't know who got onto it, but it seemed to be a bunch of like mixed people of playing tennis with Richard Branson.
There you go.
So maybe
Necker Island is the place to be.
Yeah, well,
maybe
you might
we'll
just
give him a shout out too.
Okay, Niamh Cooney I have to say it again. Growth and engagement lead at The Big Idea Ireland. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
On that great business show. We've got a big name as well. And that is it from That Great Business Show, episode 64. My thanks, as always, to the exceptionally well-read team here at the Dublin Podcast Studios. You see what I'm going to do here? I'll be playing on the book theme. Brian Bookworm Begley was today's studio engineer, and Peter Libraries Are My Life Rice will add some book learning. Oh, I spend a lot of time doing this stuff.
It's all about the learning, I love it.
2 Hour Sound, making us the best-sounding podcast on the planet. My thanks this week to Emma O'Brien at Lunas PR for lining up Maria Dickinson. And thanks to the ever-helpful Michal Whelan at Nova UCD for sending us Hugh from Go Eve. Team GBS wants to make many more podcasts. So if your company wants the best podcast production team available, do give us a shout. You'll find us on thatgreatbusinessshow.com. We also want your ads. Wise organisations like the Big Red Cloud, ISMI, Udras de Gertochter all know that The Great Business Show is the great way to talk to Ireland's SMEs. So talk to us about our competitive rates. Finally, my thanks to our sponsor, DeFactoShave.com, the world's best shaving oil. Try it for just 1 week, and like me, you will be a forever convert. So from me, Conal O'Moran, until the next time, Slán tomhán.